Okay, well, we need to keep working all four tyres, please. Keep working all
yes,
four
yes, tyres. Yes, 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 I'm doing all the time, so you don't have to remind every second. Okay.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 4 of Kimmy's Toilet Break for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Grand Prix? What's that? Ed's developed a speech impediment since the last race.
Bad times, and Tom's got hiccups.
I've got hiccups.
Oh, it's going well already. It's going well already.
Oh, at least we know we've got 24 seconds of funny stuff.
So some of you are listening to it, apparently. We got an actual review on iTunes from a real person, because we did have one already, but turned out that was my sister. But we got a real one. So, hi, whoever you are, you're the audience.
Hi, G-something 81.
Yeah, it's now solely aimed at you.
I don't think that's your real name.
4 stars. No, that's fine, mate. That's absolutely fine.
It's absolutely fine. It's not fine. And the title of the review was "It's All Right." It's better than all right.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thanks for that. At least we know you're listening.
Yeah.
You can listen again, obviously.
Yeah. And tell everyone.
Your friends.
Yeah. Okay. Bit of housekeeping first of all. This week, I edited the podcast last week. Sorry. Basically, I haven't used a Mac for longer than about 2 weeks, and I haven't used GarageBand for longer than about 3 hours, which is how long it took me to create that monstrosity. I was kind of pleased with it for the first 15 minutes. Then it crashed. I lost everything, and I really lost motivation at that stage.
Just wanted to get it out.
Yeah. I mean, it probably could have been a funny 30-minute podcast, but I decided to make it a mediocre 50-minute podcast instead.
Quality, not quantity. So, yeah, good thing is,
yeah.
Austin's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah, look forward to Austin. I've got to do this one. Look forward to Austin back on back on Tom's laptop.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be a bit better.
Yeah,
so, this week, what's happened? Well, before we go into the race, which was incredible.
Incredible.
First thing to talk about is the money rule changes. Pretty exciting, isn't it?
I wonder who came up with these money rule changes.
To come in and be like, yeah, that race. Anyway, put that to one side.
Yeah,
the money. Let's get down to the administration.
So talk us through the money changes.
Well, I can't talk you through the I can't talk you through the specific numbers.
The gist
of it is that they're hiking up the fees. There was a scale of how much they had to pay to enter their team, and now it's a flat rate, which is like a lot more than it was. It's gone up from like 300,000 to 500,000 euros. So maybe not such a big deal if you're McLaren, but probably quite a big deal if you're Caterham.
Yeah.
But then also I don't know if they did have a same system in place before with basically charging you your entry fee based on the points that you scored in the previous year. I don't know if they had that before, but either way, they've like kind of massively increased the bias on that for forming your total entry cost. So now it's like, I can't remember, it's some horrendous amount of money that, like, based on Red Bull's points last season, they would have had to pay 3 million euros to enter this year. Just to enter. Sorry, basing how much it costs to enter on how many points you get last year just has some really obvious... It's so obviously open to subversion.
Yeah.
If Red Bull... If it gets ratified and it goes through, I don't... That's how well informed I am. I don't actually know if it's been agreed. I think they've laid out that this is what's going to happen. This is the new agreement they've got signed, whatever. If it happens, surely Red Bull are going to have the constructors sewn up. Webber's going to be out of the driver's title. He's just going to park it, isn't he? Because every point he gets costs him like 10,000 euros or something. It's ridiculous. And also, someone like Caterham flukes a point in the last race of the season. Your hiccups are amazing. Punctuating really well. Or slightly undermining. Yeah. What happens if Caterham pick up a point on the last race of the season? Their punishment, their reward is a punishment. They get bankrupt.
Do you reckon they all looked at it? It's like when I get an email that my tariff's changing on O2, I'm like, fuck, right, I'm ringing them up. I'm going to pretend to... Switch.
Tell them I'm leaving. We're going to GP2.
Yeah, we're going rallying, mate. It's much cheaper there.
Do you think that's what Kimmy was doing? And they went, all right.
They were like, oh, it didn't work. I'll ring up again later. Yeah. Get someone else.
See if I can get like a rejoining promotion.
Yeah. Come on, guys. What do you need to do? Ferrari have been a customer for 60 years.
Yes, yeah.
They'll probably get a discount, though. They get.
That's it. That's one of those things. It'll be like, yeah, this is how much it costs to enter, except if your car's red, there's a 90% discount.
Yeah, it does seem a bit
so mad. Yeah, who knows? I'm sure we'll find out more about that in
maybe
the coming
this
weeks.
Is Bernie's way of going, oh, you know all those rubbish teams, I'm going to get them out this way.
Do you think? Yeah. But, yeah, none of them have got any points.
Oh, so it's fine.
So he should make it so if you don't score any points, there's like a massive fine if you're that bad. Ledger was back.
Well, I didn't see this. I'm glad I didn't because I wouldn't have a television, so I punched it.
Well, I was at work, so I couldn't throw my screen out the window, but it was during free practice. I was working very hard. I only need one of my monitors.
Lunch break.
So I was watching free practice at work. You know, I had it on one screen and was just listening to it. And I listened to it for about 15 minutes before it suddenly, like, the penny dropped. And I was like, wait a fucking minute.
You had a knife to your ear. You were trying to stab your brains out. Really sorry about these hiccups.
I really think that could be our thing. Could be our gimmick. It's really funny. apparently Tom's notorious for 3 day long bouts of hiccups, so
this is gonna get they've only just kicked in.
This is more of an experiment than a podcast. So qualifying we haven't got time to talk about qualifying. It was shit. Lewis was miles faster than everybody else on Alonso. He did get a bit narky with Webber for being on the track at the centre. I think he's got a bit carried away with the team orders, and he just thinks that everyone can just be ordered to move Ferrari. Out of his... Yeah, exactly. Is that Massa? Get him out of the way. Oh, it's Webber. Sorry, Mark.
He was half a mile up the road.
He wasn't even in the fucking DRS zone.
He's like, this air's not clean enough. Someone send Massa out for me.
Yeah, precisely. So, that was strange. But, so, I mean, the main thing about qualifying was Vettel didn't have enough petrol. Well, that schoolboy.
You'd think that's something they check, wouldn't you?
I mean, I've only done that once in my adult life, and I'm not a professional driver. And I'm just an amateur.
A guy whose job it is just to know how much petrol's got to get in the car. This is going to be a longer podcast than usual. It's like, I'm on my way. But they...
Well, they tried to blame it on Renault, didn't they?
Yeah, Renault rang us and said... we can't tell you why.
What is it? I don't know, mate. 40 litres of unleaded is fine.
Put diesel in it by mistake. Unbelievable.
So that, and that, like they said again on commentary, really, you just make it suspicious by going, stop the car, get out, kill the engine. You know, if they just go back to the pits, they only take a tiny bit for their sample to check they've not put like car steroids in it or whatever it is they're checking.
I reckon they don't probably usually take a litre. They're like, oh, there should be a litre in there. But that's exactly it.
They said normally they just take whatever they need to do their test, which is like fuck all.
Yeah.
But as soon as you stop, they go, well, they're worried about running out of fuel. Mm. Let's try and take some fuel. And they were 150 millilitres short.
That does make me think, gutted. Why don't they should be checking that. They should be checking everyone's got that much fuel left in it, because it's going to make a weight difference. And
absolutely.
I don't know why they're not on it.
We were saying Red Bull, like, they should be checking the fuel.
You're right.
Yeah, definitely. I agree
with
you.
Good observation there.
It's open, man.
But
the FIA should be a lot more hot on it with the top teams, I guess, if that's how close they're running.
They're running 150 mils off. They should have just got Webber to piss.
That's like a hotel glass of orange juice.
Yeah, just fill it up. Yeah. It's all the same colour.
That's what Vettel, when he gets out and gives it a hug at the end of qualifying, it's actually having a wee in the diffuser. So I watched the race on Sky, but subsequently, because we're recording this a bit late, went back and watched the highlights on BBC, and their intro bit with them in the desert in the 4x4s was so painful. It was so shit. It was like they were trying to be Top Gear, which is not something that you want to be...
Not worth aspiring
like, trying to.
To,
yeah, aspire to.
Which one be which?
I don't necessarily even go down that
yeah,
road.
Yeah, that's not
Eddie Jordan is definitely Richard Hammond.
Yeah, definitely. Short and annoying.
But yeah, that was terrible. Really, really poorly scripted and just like toe curling. It was quite bad. But as I said, I didn't watch it on BBC. I watched it on Sky. And I do think BBC's build up, like, things like that are shit, but that's kind of why it's good, because it gives you something to talk about. The Sky's build up, apart from, the grid walk is obviously good with Brundle. He's a bit more ballsy than DC. But the rest of the coverage is just a lot drier, a lot more of. You know, I get the feeling that the drivers kind of get the little stupid cliquey thing about the BBC presenters, and they're all kind of lovable idiots, but they're quite amiable with them, and they know them, and they're kind of they obviously don't feel threatened by them, or they don't treat them like they treat like, you know, the media, when they talk about, like, the journalists, and you see them getting really fucked off with them when they're just in a press conference with loads of microphones in their face. But the BBC guys, they seem to kind of be okay with most of the drivers. And I don't think Lazenby has that at all.
No.
I mean, Jakey Wakey, he's a bit of a bell end, and it fluctuates whether you think he's a total twat or actually kind of quite charming.
I always quite like him.
But Lazenby just doesn't have that. He's just too bland, and like none of the drivers know who he is or give a fuck, and they're just like that.
The only thing this guy do well, I think I've said this before, they do a montage very well.
More of Eddie Jordan's bad poetry.
Yeah, none of that. Maybe that's it.
And I mean, they've just got much higher budgets, haven't they? Mm. So their analysis and stuff, as much as we slag off the Skypad, like it's the enforced like presenter using the technology that like pisses me off, that is so unnecessary. When it's seamless, it could be good because they can give insightful analysis and use it to help them. But it seems like a gimmick. But actually, the analysis they're giving you normally is really
good.
And the onboard shots are really good, and they've got the like super slow motion cameras. Not that that's anything to do with Sky; that's just the venue, I guess. But you know, they use it well. And and Anthony Davidson, as much as we take the piss, and he does know what he's talking about.
He's
clearly,
good. Yeah,
really,
I like him. Yeah,
he gives you a good drives insight, and that was why DC was so good, because he was straight out of the car and he just, you know, he really relayed it in a way that you could really kind of like understand. So I mean, if DC is supposed to be going to Sky, isn't he? And that
is he?
Well, Brundle's his manager, and I just heard that.
Really? I didn't know that.
Didn't you know that?
Did not know that.
The fuck?
Really? I didn't know that.
Right, yeah, Brundle's DC's manager. Did you not know that?
Yeah. Well, that's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Well, he's going to get him a job there, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess
that's how he got his foot in the door in the first place. You know, because it was while he was still racing. So, there you go.
Interesting. Well, factoid there.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
Live
factoiding. Yeah. Made yourself look a right mark.
I'm not edit that out.
All three people listening to this knew that.
I watched the BBC coverage because I want this. I don't know if to give you a fucking reason.
You've got Sky.
What's your problem? No. I've got Sky, but I wasn't at my place, so I was watching it on...
I've just realised there's going to be me using a lighter again, like on the first episode.
Oh, I haven't done it once.
That's okay.
You got me hiccuping every 2 seconds. That's the least of our worries.
Just bear with us, guys.
This is going well.
Leave it in. Staying in.
Talk amongst ourselves.
Plow on. Head down. Forward.
I watched the BBC coverage because I do like it anyway. I probably would have chosen it over the Sky.
Yeah,
the BBC boys were outside the Ferrari garage for a little while and sort of spying in, seeing what was going on. And DC said to the guys, "Oh, there's Massa in his little chair." But that's nice, isn't it? He's tiny. I imagine there was this high chair and he was slapping his hands on the top, throwing his food around. We did see a photo of Massa next to a
Fiat 500 amazing. Recently. It's an old photo. It's on Sniff Petrol, isn't it, I think? Go and find it if you haven't seen it. It must be from a few years ago when the Fiat 500 or Bath came out. And it's a promotional shot, but it genuinely looks photoshopped. It looks like they've made a like cartoon huge one that's like a fucking tank and put Massa next to it. Apparently, that's not photoshopped. I was so dubious because he just looks fucking tiny.
He comes up to the roof
just
line.
Above the roof. Yeah. It's mad.
But yeah, poor thing.
You know that's blatantly photoshopped, and we're going to look like
idiots. Look like idiots. Well, I think we've proved that anyway.
Not
it's
that.
Fine.
Police, no worries.
And they also went and had a. It was really interesting. They went to the Red Bull HQ and to Nui's little design studio.
That's the bit that I saw today, and that was really good.
It was interesting. There were a few too many kind of sharp edges, I thought, in there. A very high aerodynamic desk or...
Yeah.
But it looked very old school, but I kind of liked that.
They said he's the only one that genuinely uses a drawing board.
Yeah.
Is that he actually goes back to the drawing board.
Back to
the
drawing
board. He probably
doesn't.
He probably fucking nails it, so he's like...
Yeah. They showed his little sketches and stuff.
Yeah, and they made him sign one as well.
Yeah, worth a few quid.
Go and buy that. That's amazing. I'm going to build it. Do you reckon, like, Marussia are going to bid for that anyway and be like, guys, build this.
2 to 5 minutes. And then he went out in the cars, didn't he? Went out in his old Leighton House 90 car, which was way too tight. I remember he got sacked for that, didn't he, back in the day, for it being too uncomfortable for the drivers.
It looked impossible. DC was like, couldn't do 2,000 Monte Carlo.
Yeah, mental. They had it good with this year, and it was proper quick, but that was his first foray into F1, but that was really interesting.
He's quite skinny. Do you reckon he just measured it on himself and he went off? Fine.
I do. So when people, I put this mirror up for you. It's like, mate, I'm 6'2". I can't see that. And he just does not give a fuck. But you could see he was almost a little bit concerned that his face wasn't aerodynamic enough. Going through. I imagined him sanding his own face.
But they
down
said he's like, he's fearless and he really goes for it and stuff.
He was fucking going for it.
Yeah, and they said he'd never. He said I haven't.
I don't believe he's never driven.
Bullshit. That can't absolute be bullshit. What the hell? You're the best aerodynamicist in F1, and you've never driven the car. Like shit, you haven't got.
I'm a bit worried now because he's probably going to go back and go, I've just driven one now and I've realised there's load more stuff.
Oh, God, yeah.
I've been doing it wrong for so long.
But yeah, you would think.
He would have done it by now.
I would think that's an integral part of, especially the period when he came into F1. It's not like now where they're really disparate teams. It's like, it would have been smaller and the guy that was the engineer would be like hopping in and going, what does this feel like? Yeah. And giving himself some feedback. And I would have thought that Newey would have...
I don't believe that. I just don't, because he drives a lot at like Goodwood Revival and he's been up the hill climb loads of times. That's just not true.
It's
just
not true. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't driven that. Was it the RB5? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Maybe it's that particular one he hasn't driven before. One,
yeah. The way that came across that, it sounded like it was Trans-Hermann.
It'd been the car before.
Yeah. Oh, this is new.
He's just flat through wood curtains. Oh, you've just set a purple sector.
Yeah, but he was good. Do you reckon Webber was like, oh, fuck.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah, they never get the insurance to put Adrian Newey in a Formula 1 car.
No, God, his brain's Christian Horner was
like a madman. So speaking of Newey, on the grid walk, first of all, Brundle was doing a brilliant bit of, when he's thinking of the next thing to say or he's looking for the next interview, and... Everyone does it when, you're not paying attention. And he's just saying words and, kind of teasing it out, but he's just peering over the top of everyone. He's just saying nonsensical things. But normally he kind of vaguely makes it make sense or he stops saying anything. And, this weekend he just went, and there's a man over there. That was it.
There's some
people in the crowd. really random. And then he... He like tripped over Adrian Newey, but he's like bumped into him and was just, he's like moving people out of the way and like, coming through and then kind of double took and was like, oh, Adrian.
Where was he on the floor? Is that? How did he trip over?
He was. I think he was. I don't think he really tripped over. He was standing with his back to the Red Bull, and I think he just turned around and was getting up, he bumped into him. Really, he didn't really trip over him, but it was the way that he kind of double took and was like, can I have a word? And Adrian was like, no.
Go away.
and so he just walked off. Then we saw Prost being interviewed. I saw both of those interviews, the Sky one and the BBC one.
I only saw the DC one.
But he seems all right. I thought he was going to be a dip.
He must hate that film. It's a good film, but it does paint him in such a negative light.
Well, I guess that's mainly where I'm getting my impression of him from, but he just seemed quite reasonable, quite chilled.
I guess he is now. I guess when you're in the heart
it's very
of
easy to be, kind of humble and gracious, like posthumously.
Yeah.
At the time, maybe not so much.
Yeah. So, he's probably still a git. I did see a bit of the Sky, because it was such a good race that I watched a bit of like the highlight stuff on Sky when I got back or whenever it was. And Brundle went, oh, we've got Del Boy over here. And he was obviously referring to that Derek, what's his face?
Derek Wallace, yeah.
And I was actually imagining Del Boy and Rodders kind of online. Do you want to buy a car, mate?
That would be an amazing episode. That would be so good. Yeah, they're just kind of doing tyres out the back of the van. Going, oh, yeah, these are Perulis.
They dressed up as Batman.
That guy looked like he was going to fucking hit him.
Yeah.
And like Brundle was like poking him, wasn't he? Like an angry bear with a stick, and then like carrying away. And then the guy turned around and was all fucking smiles. Yeah. Like,
I did think you were pushing it a bit. He looked at Brundle, he was like, still talking.
Yeah.
I know you're there. I was imagining Brundle was going to like pull his trousers down.
Slap his ass really firmly.
Just be like, fuck off, mate.
Then we saw Jackie. Sir Jackie!
Sir Weird Jackie!
Yeah, I didn't know, apparently everyone else did, that he was part of Lotus until he went, yeah, I kind of feel like we should have won a race by now. It's like, do you think you're still in it? Is he just running his own team?
It?
Like,
mad,
him and Barrichello at the side going, it's not over yet.
His trousers. Yeah.
Pretty special.
Pretty tight.
I reckon he plays a lot of golf.
Do you think he's from Scotland? I don't know.
It's just hard to tell, isn't
it's
it?
It's just hard to tell with that accent. It's hard to pin him down. But yeah, I do like him. He's a nice man.
Yeah, well, I don't know. All I ever seem to hear from Jackie Stewart is, oh, it's not as good as you think it is. But that's the only comments he ever seems to come out with. It's like, oh, so-and-so's not great yet. And then when you hear him, he's always really complimentary about them. But all under the, guise of saying, but they're not as good as everyone says, or they're not as good as, not as good as Jim Clark or Fangio. I don't know. It's weird. It kind of pisses me off when they go, oh, Vettel's like one of the greatest drivers ever. Because you're like, oh, fuck off. He's like about 13. Mm. And then it also really fucks me off. And then, oh, no one can ever be as great as Fangio because he was in F1 50 years before we were born, pretty much. Like, it's impossible to have any frame of reference for that. Like, you can watch things, but it's just watching a different thing now.
Yeah, and it's a completely different sport now, isn't it? You know, as far as the safety's concerned, the technology and stuff. It's hard to compare, like you say, but yeah.
I thought you were going to finish really... that sentence. Yeah, really insightful.
No, yeah. Don't rely on
F1's,
me for that.
F1's changed. It's about time someone said that.
Change, man. I've got something written down here because I write notes before while I'm watching it. Really random ones. If anyone ever saw my phone with all the notes on here, they would just be like, what the hell is this?
Genuine,
I've got Eddie J shut up about Vettel overtaking Jakey face. I have no idea what that's about. I think that Eddie Jordan was talking about Vettel overtaking. Jakey made a face.
Yeah, Jake does do a lot of like, really funny. Isn't he a fucking retard faces at the camera, which does annoy me a bit, even though he's normally right. I think, in fact, it's going back to that Derek Wallace chap. I think they were talking about, he asked him what they were talking about, and they were talking about the fuel.
Yeah.
And Lewis running out earlier in the season, and then obviously the same thing happening to Vettel.
Mm.
And they were basically just trying to establish if Red Bull could try and claim that it was force majeure, which is what they said for Lewis. And at the time, I thought, that's a joke. They haven't really, act of God, that you didn't put enough petrol in the car. What the fuck? And so they're trying to say because it was a lot cooler than they thought and the tyres were lasting better and the cars were performing better, you know, and everything was kind of, they were going better and so they were using up more fuel, which they couldn't have possibly predicted. Act of God. It's like, well, everything's a fucking act of God then, isn't it?
That is such a ridiculous thing.
If you believe in God, you think that Grosjean is a fucking act of God when he takes people off at the first corner. You go, restart the race, act of God. He made this fucking lunatic.
Yeah, you could. Oh, it's such a ridiculous thing to say.
It is.
And the other thing is that they can't. The weather thing with the fuel, it's like, oh, yes, it's. I don't understand where that would affect it. I guess the heat in the tyres and. It's so. Kind of,
it's just, oh, that's the sport.
You have to take the shit into account if you know it's going to be.
That's what you're doing in motorsport, where things like the conditions affect things like the fuel consumption.
Yeah. The thing I didn't understand about the fuel amount, actually, now thinking about it, is that I was on the understanding that in F1, they measure the fuel in weight because the density of it can change depending on the temperature as well.
Right, okay.
So I don't really understand why it would have to be an exact litre anyway. That doesn't make much sense.
No, I think they did talk about that, and it's not, I think it is a weight, and it equates to approximately that. I think they're doing it for idiots like us that find it easier to quantify liquids.
You all understand this easier, yeah.
To be fair, you don't go in and say, can I have like half a pound of a Coke, please?
Well.
Do we still use pounds anyway? I don't think we do.
It depends. Actually, take that bit out.
Half a pound, mate. Fucking hell.
It's breakfast.
What are you doing?
They all wear pretty similar sunglasses these days. This is really interesting.
What, like their mums? They look like...
They're massive. They look like cataract glasses.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what I mean. They look like your 65-year-old mums.
Yeah. Apart from... Felipe, who has got the shittest sunglasses I've ever seen.
Do you look like John Lennon once?
They're not far off. They're pretty round. They got like little gold. They're like ladies' ones that are from the airport. You know, like the 3-foot ones.
Yeah. Like, and they're like 3/4 of a lens as yeah, well. Like,
it's just nose. Like, imagine Alonso just like, what the fuck?
I'm fed up with no one taking me seriously.
I'm going to wear these shit sunglasses. They are terrible. I can't even believe that's a point. I've just written down Felipe shit sunglasses. Yeah. Which they are. So.
Stick it to him. We've done half an hour and we haven't talked about the most exciting race of the season yet. So the race, what a fucking race. So yeah, we complained and we did come into it at the wrong time of the season, but our patience paid off because it was fucking brilliant.
It was bloody brilliant. It
reminds me why I love F1, when you get a race that I'm like an excited
I've
child.
I've watched it again.
Yeah. I've watched all the highlights on the BBC and then we just watched the 10-minute highlights as well. Yeah, it was brilliant.
And obviously so our good. Man won it as well, you know, we should be reaping the
oh my god, yeah, effect. Exactly. Okay,
I think it's actually Alf.
It can't just be, I mean, yeah.
It's got to be a coincidence.
2 points on a graph, you can't just draw a straight line between them, but...
But the great thing is that we can probably, we've got even more things for him swearing with contact later.
Yeah, definitely. Our intro will probably have changed by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's start from the beginning. Obviously, Vettel demoted to not just the back, but he was like started half a lap down basically because he had to wait till they're all through the first corner.
Yeah,
but,
sniping the pit lane.
So
yeah.
Lewis obviously on pole and got a really good start. Flew away. Webber, typically fucking awful.
What can he be doing wrong?
I
don't understand it.
What? Yeah, surely that is one of the things. That's what I don't get.
Practice
surely
that,
that's one
Mark.
Of the things. Yeah, exactly. The simulator. You probably don't lose that much from because it's all just using an electronic system. I guess there's a feel to how much the engine's pulling and everything, but...
But they set that on the formation lap. The engineers helped them set that biting point. So he's decided that biting point like 2 seconds before as well.
Yeah, yeah,
So, don't know.
It's really, really peculiar. And it's like when Grosjean was crashing every lap, every race at the first lap. And you just, it became a cliche so quickly that then you just almost couldn't believe it when it happened again. And it was like that with Webber, it's like that with Webber, and it's been like that since last season. That it just, it happens so often that it's not even,
it's
parodying itself.
He can't start. They must be hard to get off the line because every time you watch a celebrity or someone try and drive an F1 car, they always stall it like 10 times. So, not a great start for Webber.
So so that was good for everyone just behind. Yeah, so they all promptly moved up. Jensen got quite a good start, didn't he? I mean, he got that place as well.
Yeah.
They all kind of...
Fernando had a good start as well.
Streaked away. Yeah. Fernando
always gets away well.
He's great off the line. And then Lewis kind of did... Pull a gap, didn't he?
Quickly got a good gap in.
Yeah. And then, it was really hard to remember the precise sequence of events. The first thing that I remember actually happening in the race, you know, there was a bit of contact further down the pack for the Force Indias and that Hülkenberg went out and stuff. There was a Kurz issue, wasn't there, for... Who's it for? I guess it was for Webber.
Webber always seems to have a Kurz issue.
And had another Kurz issue, and they said to him, Mark's got no Kurz. And Jensen came in the room and went, yeah, neither have I.
That was his excuse for that.
Exactly. Yeah, no, me either.
He's got no wheels. Yeah, me neither.
And then I guess the first big incident of the race was the first safety car, 10 laps in. All action, and then out of nowhere they cut to
flying Mercedes.
Rosberg just absolutely annihilated into the wall, and if there wasn't so much else going on to keep you excited, I think that would have really like knocked me stone cold sober because it looked so.
It was just head on as well.
Yeah, it looked so bad. He was just buried in the wall, but he immediately got out. So you were like, oh okay, and then they play the replay, and you're like, fucking hell, it's almost a copy of Webber's on. Kovalainen, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he clips the back
Valencia
and launches the car.
The
same thing could have happened so easily, but instead it flips it sideways, bounced once on its side, and thankfully went back the right way up instead of upside down.
Yeah, it was weird because it looked like the two wheels contacted, and obviously his wheel went over over Carter Kuyt's, but you would think that wasn't able to happen because of the front wing, but I guess as soon as it breaks, that's
yeah, I mean, you see how flimsy they are. We saw from from Vettel's, didn't we? You know, front wings break on the speed side.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it like smashed it off and catapulted him up, and he just careered into the wall of like no braking at all.
He's lucky it didn't flip, or Carl Tynes lucky that a wheel didn't.
Yeah, those, and the wheel over. Went into the wall at like 150 miles an hour. Mm. You know, 20 yards to the left, but you know that's fucking chance, isn't it? It could just
yeah. I mean, Stewart's been killed from that
kind of thing.
Tires
yeah,
coming off and things
jumping
like
over
that,
the so walls and stuff. So
they're really lucky.
That was a really really gnarly accident that probably would have been in any of the last four races be the only thing we've been talking about.
Mm.
And at first I was like, oh God, Kine, fucking hell, like you know they've got to kick them out. He's almost fucking killed someone. And then they said the car broke down, and I thought, yeah, shit. I felt really bad. You know, I mean,
he wasn't to know, was he? He was on that line.
He was on that
and
line.
That just makes me again think, bloody hell, that thing is a death trap.
It's a death trap, yeah. So almost
don't want it.
Yeah, so, fucking hell, nothing bad happened in the next race. But yeah, it was pretty scary. Quite sobering. But the race around it was like so frenetic that like they restarted from the safety car, and you'd kind of already forgotten 2 minutes later.
It was
good to see them. Not. They kind of like. Went and like you know, Kine ran up to him and was like, "Fucking hell, you okay?" and everything. And Rosberg looked like he'd seen a fucking ghost, but he was all right. So that's good. I guess he'll be in the next race. So Vettel then he pitted and got a new wing and put on the softs, as we were saying, sorted his strategy, and then he came out after all of that and he was behind De Resta, and I caught the interview pre race with De Resta, and I think Natalie Pinkham just stuck the microphone in his face and said, oh, you know, you've got Vettel coming up behind you, you know, and what are you going to do about that? And he just kind of was like, oh, why should I act any different for him? Like, you know, and made some really, like, petulant statement like that. And I just thought, yeah, okay, we'll see. And then he got put out behind him and they restarted. First corner, first racing corner, just straight past. It's like,
through.
Yeah, you didn't really need to worry about that, did you?
God.
And then out of nowhere, cuts to Lewis, slowly rolling down the side of the track.
Shaking his head. Glad I'm not going to be in this
rubbish car next year. Yeah. Meanwhile, looking at Schumacher going around in like 14th.
I'm glad I'm in that nice, reliable
Mercedes. Yeah, looks at the other one in the wall.
You know, the one that Schumacher had to retire like six races. This is, in a row, yeah. Ridiculous, so.
Yeah. That was... It totally depends, doesn't it? It just depends on your stance.
I was really happy.
Happy, yeah. I was like, fucking yes! Come on! Stood up and clapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been so gutted at some points during the last few seasons, but yeah, I was delighted. And yeah, Kimi inherited the lead. I was so excited. I think that's another reason I was so chuffed when Lewis went out. That I just
knew it was him behind.
It was him behind,
yeah. It's about bloody time as well.
So that was absolutely brilliant. So the guy came on the radio and just started telling him the gap and telling him that he would keep him informed of the gap, and like, yeah, then went off the radio, came back on and was like, I'll keep you informed.
Keep up to date, Kimmy.
He said, yes, I know, leave me alone.
Go away.
I know what I'm doing. Oh, Mum.
Oh, it's not fair. I know what I'm doing.
Leave me alone.
I'm grown up now.
So, yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing.
It was just classic Kimmy.
Classic Kimmy. He never, never disappoints.
I'd hate to be his engineer. Just be like, okay then, what do I do?
Yeah, what do I do?
You do not want to interrupt him. Be like someone who you know is in a really bad mood and you can't say something. You've got to ask them a question.
And you know you're going to get a shitty answer back.
Kimmy. Yes, what do you want?
No, Kimmy, don't be... Kimmy, if you ask a question, I'll give you some vodka. Gets that in there first. got his attention, right.
Do you want ice cream?
Yeah, he does the ice cream vodka sandwich, and in between he asks the question. So that was amazing.
I think I've played that back about 10 times since.
Yeah. So yeah, JB got past Maldonado after that.
That was really close,
but he'd just seen what had happened with weather as well, and he must have just been like, fuck. But he managed to get past, and then it was... because of Mark losing those positions, he was then in Massa's sights, and that is it. And the adventures of Massa, once again, the adventures of this week, Massa meets Mark. And essentially what happened was they were really close for a couple of corners, and one of them made the move on the other. And then Mark had gone off he'd had to bail out, hadn't he, and run off track. And it showed the onboard for Massa. He did two full corners completely clean with Mark nowhere in his sights, and then you see a tiny speck of Mark's front wing in the right-hand mirror, and he just instantly spins. It just completely panics. I was in fits. It was so funny.
He can't get freaked out by F1 cars.
Yeah.
You're a race.
It's like we were saying about Grosjean. It was mental, though. He just... That incident with Mark was over. It was completely unrelated, and he blatantly tried to pass it off.
Mark wasn't about driving society.
Yeah, and he just panicked and spun it on the straight.
But did you see the way he tried to get it on back onto the track? It was really reckless as well. He's like...
Yeah.
Obviously, they give it absolute put there.
Just put their foot through it,
doing that bit. But then he had to kind of start doing like a reverse donut, whatever you would call it. He started coming on the wrong direction. I was like, that's so dangerous.
If someone's coming around that corner and he's blown up a cloud of smoke and stuff. Yeah. It was pretty...
entertaining, though, so it's fine.
When Webber had to stop, he clearly wasn't best for his strategy, and Vettel was making his way through from the back, which had been brilliant, and I think that was what was keeping it so entertaining, was every other shot was a cut back to Vettel overtaking someone else. And then, he got up to behind Mark, and they obviously wanted to tell him, they came on the radio and said, don't slow him down, and they just thought, he's not going to fucking listen,
lines,
is he? So they just came on the radio and went, box, 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 and just made him swerve into the pit. So he came in, I think he was right behind Perez or in front of Perez, but like with him, and it just obviously wasn't advantageous to do it. Like, he could have got the undercut.
Perez got out first as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. So then Vettel, after they all pitted, was in second from the back, which is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Absolutely unbelievable, and it kind of doesn't put to bed everyone's thing about him only being able to win from the front, but.
I mean, they've obviously got a very fast car, but it's like, it'd be so easy to get nervous in that situation of, I'm supposed to overtake everyone.
Mm.
I've got to get, world championship to win and everything. I'm supposed to just cruise past because my car's better and stuff. But to actually do it, we've seen it's not that easy.
No.
Even with DRS, at some of these tracks, it's just not easy to get one car past the other. And
there's a lot of, not very experienced drivers on
there. Anything can happen. And he just did it so cleanly, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he had the little bit of wing damage early on, but after that...
He had to come in for another wing.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's no way he's going to get into the points now.
Yeah, I mean, they did play into their hands a little bit, but he just drove amazingly, didn't he? And to get all the way up to second, at that point, we were just sitting there going, there's no way. He can't do 48 laps or whatever he's going to try and do on these tyres. There's just no way.
I was amazed at how quickly he got back up, and I was a bit like, oh man, there's no stopping this guy. This is it. It's over now.
Yeah, yeah. Goujon decided to cause a massive smash up, and that was what totally saved Vettel, because just when he needed the new tyres, there was another safety car. But that Grosjean crash was... I thought Grosjean had caused it, because when Perez rejoined, he kind of swerved out his way into Webber, and my first take on that was he should have been more careful about where he swerved, but it was Perez coming back on off the track, and I think that's a bit of a case of you just think it's going to be his fault automatically when he's involved in something now. Webber, he used to be the unlucky... I've kind of forgotten a bit the last few seasons because he's been such a good car, but he used to be the unluckiest man in F1, didn't he?
He could have won that season that he just got smashed out in career and places like that.
Yeah, he's been so unlucky. You just saw it again there. It's just, he's already had one incident. He's just minding his own business. And someone just swerves into him and just fucking...
It just totally took his wheel off.
Cracks his wheel off, yeah. Just completely smashed the axle straight away. And another safety car. So Perez got the penalty for that, but it massively helped. Vettel was really the outcome of that. So then they had to do a restart, and I think that was when we got Kimi's second radio message, which was like, yes, 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 you don't have to tell me every 2 minutes.
That was about heat, not the tyres, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's you've got to get heat into all four tyres, Kimi. I know what I'm doing.
Leave me alone.
It was amazing. So he did, to his credit, and they said he does know what he's doing. He got the restart, fucking nailed it, blitzed it away and just put in some amazing sectors. Fastest lap of the race on the first lap after a restart, they said, that never happened.
And if you need someone to be cool...
Yeah, you didn't really think he was going to panic.
No, no panic. I think
it's
because half asleep
he wouldn't give a shit if he did. That's why he's not going to.
Yeah.
Alonso, Button and Vettel all were scrapping, which was pretty entertaining, but ultimately Vettel got past JB. Kind of, you saw it coming, didn't you? For the way Vettel had been driving.
He didn't put up much of a battle, did he?
He didn't in the end, but Vettel said afterwards, didn't he, it was really hard to get past him compared to everybody else that I overtook today, basically, which you would expect. But that was really entertaining, but you just never really thought Jensen was going to hold him off. It was too long to go, and Vettel had been going so well.
He had fresher tyres
as
well.
Yeah, because of the pit stop, like 10 laps or whatever.
And he was on the soft, and Button was on the hard, I think, still at that point.
So that was, that was a shame for JB, but amazing from Vettel. And then, Alonso was catching Raikkonen, but just...
it was getting cut. Yeah, another two or three laps.
8 tenths he was as they went over the finishing line. It feels like we've just reeled off what happened, but it's because so much fucking happened. It was amazing. It was brilliant. I enjoyed it so much.
And it's a race, a track that people are quite critical of. It's another Tilke track.
I was going to say, Valencia was really good this year as well,
wasn't
it?
What's that all about? I'm not complaining. You know, it's good, and maybe it's taken a while for the drivers to get more used to the tracks as well.
But I guess you have to think about what happened if Lewis's car hadn't just broken down out of nowhere.
It might have changed.
If Carter Kyne's car hadn't just broken down out of nowhere, would it have been that amazing race that we saw?
No.
It kind of comes down to it's F1 that makes it interesting. It doesn't really matter where it's happening. It still always has the potential to be great and always has the potential to be mind-numbingly
tedious. Yeah, that if that had all happened around the M25, it would have still been quite interesting. Oh, I've got the new venue sorted.
Haven't they suggested that yet? Do you know what I appreciated this week? No fucking Crazy Frog. I know that was like really topical satire last week, but... we didn't get that this week.
Instead,
we just got the guy going, it was so embarrassing. He was like, yee-haw! It's the nerdiest guy ever.
And Kimmy going.
And then Kimmy was just like,
a bit awkward.
Thanks.
It's a bit embarrassing. Because he's just... So he did celebrate it, though. I thought he was just in gown.
I mean, yeah, but he didn't run over to everyone and hug them. He got out of the car and, like, one double arm, you know, up in the air kind of thing, and then just walked into the wrong garage. He just went to get, like, procession. He was just thinking about
his ice cream.
And then
he's just got up there with a Magnum.
Yeah.
During the national anthem.
They swerved him round by the shoulders, didn't they, and pointed him in the right direction, and then Kovalainen just grabbed him from behind, and Kimmy looked like he was going to turn around and lamp him, and then kind of realised who it was. And was like, thanks, mate.
Another good Finnish driver.
Yeah.
And then they were in the holding pen with Alonso.
Vettel and Kimmy are like BFFs, apparently.
Oh, well, I think Vettel wants to be, doesn't he? Yeah, he's like, all right, mate, punching him on the punching him, slapping him on the back. I think in the end, I was just saying Kimmy's just punch him in the face.
I think he'd just, you know, one hand either side of his head and on his neck, he just drops the floor on the head.
Oh, that's better. Yes. I know I don't drink. Really. I wouldn't have imagined them two getting on. I don't know why.
No, me neither. They seem to really clash. One's like really excitable and
young.
Exactly. And the other one's just like, oh, fuck off and leave me alone.
And Alonso definitely is like, leave me alone. Back to them. Pouring waterboarding himself. He'd rather do that than talk to these people.
Puts a cap over his face.
Yeah. He did not want to talk to anyone.
No, he was...
A bit awkward.
Yeah. I mean, he must have been livid. He just thought, fucking yes, this is just what I needed to win the world title. And he said in the interview last week, he said Ferrari have had all the bad luck this season. They've broken down loads of times. They've had loads of really unfortunate instances, getting taken out of the first corner.
They've had a few, more than
Red Bull.
Yeah.
Like what he meant was in the context of compared to Vettel, and what he was hinting at was like probably three races they've had really seriously like dropped up to 25 points through something that wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really happened to Red Bull as much. But yeah, then this happened, and you just thought, who is Alonso speaking to there? Did Alonso just have a word with Bernie, or did Bernie watch that interview and go, you're right, only even the scales of justice?
Well, it's like when Lewis in 2007 at Brazil, his car just stopped working. I thought Bernie's there with his big red button.
And then the next season he did it to Timo Glock's car on the last corner. Yeah,
he suddenly got different tyres.
Saw Massa's wife looking happy and was like, so they went out onto the podium and we noticed that Alonso was like chugging down
the
champagne, and we were like, what is going on? He's just done like two times. And then they said, yeah, because it's Abu Dhabi, it's not booze. And we were like, oh. We were like, that is amazing. He's just done like three pints of fucking champagne after doing 2 hours.
I imagine Kimmy to do, he's like, get me a straw somewhere. He's straw peed those whole.
But they must get smashed after that because they're so fit and there's no shit in their bodies, and then they're dehydrated.
They're not allowed it on the podium, but Kimmy immediately had a
beer bottle in his hand and they went to all the Lotus mechanics and they're all drinking champagne in the pits and stuff.
It. But they were quite entertaining on the podium. It was DC's turn to do the interviews.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
He was good.
I thought it was the best so far.
He obviously wasn't happy about Vettel's prank. On his tighty whities.
Yeah, but I mean, the podium interviews, I don't know. My retrospective memory of that is that DC was really good at doing the interviews, but I think that's because totally I've just remembered why I think the interviews were actually really good. Was that Kimmy just went, "Ah, you're always giving me shit for not smiling.
So I always feel awkward.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to apologise for that one, but he let it go and thought, fair enough. And then Vettel, like, not wanting to be outdone by the cool kid at school, was like, I'm going to do a swear. And it got round to him. And he went, fuck! It was so just was crowbarred in. But it was brilliant. It was really, really funny. And then DC had no choice to apologise. And then it was really weird, because DC was doing the interviews, but I was watching it on Sky. So it was like, oh, this is what it would be like if DC was part of the Sky scene.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your notes are amazing. You've got very good notes there this week.
Well, actually, it's just a script. I've just been reading off this.
And then what happened was...
There was a lot of that. If you listen back to it, there's a lot of me going, and then there was, it's just me reading the next fucking line off my phone.
We should probably say...
Apologies for this one being a bit delayed. Hopefully it'll be out probably by the end of the week. Yeah. And then, we'll be back.
Got 2 weeks. Two weeks. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, so...
Yeah.
It might be tomorrow. It might have been last week. You should really listen to the next one first. That's fine.
They're just getting better, guys. They just keep getting better.
You wait until you listen to Austin. It's fucking amazing.
It's going to be amazing. Cool. All right. Take care, everybody.
Adios.
Bye.
Adios.